Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
American Glutton Podcast has a Patreon. Do you hate commercials? Well, we've got a Patreon. Do you want bonus episodes? That's on the Patreon. Do you want to hang out and chat in our Discord channel? That's part of the Patreon too. We even have an option where you can leave me voicemails. All on the Patreon. So check it out today. Patreon.com/AmericanGlutton. We have a Patreon.
Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment, food as sport, food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me.
I hate to ask you to do anything, but if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, review, all of the above on whatever app you're getting it from. American Glutton is brought to you by Trifecta. Trifecta is the perfect tool for diet and maintenance adherence. It reduces time, thought, and effort in making sure I am never without the food I need to succeed. Go to www.trifectanutrition.com/AmericanGlutton, where you will get 40% off your first order. Today on American Glutton, I'm joined by Issa Welly, nutritional therapist and well-being coach. She believes that living your best life is totally different for everyone. She doesn't believe in a one-size-fits-all diet or workout plan or having the perfect body or lifestyle. Today, she is going to share how she helps people achieve a lifestyle that encourages an inner shift so they can actually create and live their best lives. You can find her on Instagram at Issa Welly. Issa Welly, welcome to the American Glutton Podcast.
Thank you. Woo, woo, woo. I'm really excited to be here.
You are a nutritional therapist.
I am indeed.
This sounds so wild and awesome to me. What does that mean?
I mean, I guess it's another way of saying nutritionist. It's the same thing, you know, like I help people eat better and use food in a way as a medicine to heal themselves. I mainly work with women that are exhausted and tired and have a whole range of little symptoms, but eventually when you look closer, it's a burnout, it's the body kind of falling apart a little bit, saying I need help. But if I work just with nutrition, I also work with clients that have had cancer, that have had, let's say, a little bit more serious pathologies or recurrent illnesses. So really I'm trained to use food to support my clients to better health. So that's pretty much what nutritional therapy
is. Look, I find it really amazing because when I picture in my head nutritionist, I picture somebody going, this is what you eat, end of story. And when I think about a nutritional therapist, I think about a conversation and the ability for me to go like, you know, I really wanted to eat a donut today. And like, and you might help talk me off that ledge or whatever it is. Like, it just seems awesome.
Yeah. And I think you really nailed it. I probably will tell you, well, have the donuts. And why do you want to have it? Like, how does it feel? Is your like a healthier donut? Can I teach you how to make another one?
Right. Which is more conversational. I mean, Look, in fairness, I don't know what I don't know exactly what the job of a nutritionist is. I'm not a nutritionist. I've never done that. But when I read a book that says this is the way a human being should eat, which there are lots of books that say lots of different versions of that, I just imagine a nutritionist going like, no, I ascribe to this book, and therefore I'm going to tell you to eat more legumes or less animal products. Or
do you know what I think? I think that then becomes an individual thing to us, you know, nutritional therapists and nutritionists as well, dietitians. There are differences between us in the way we train, especially dietitians and us. But me personally, nutritional therapy with the background in naturopathy, it's very much we co-create together, you and I, it's tailored to you. How you're going to eat, what makes you feel better. I help you uncover that. I don't really tell you what to do because you know, right? Yeah. You know, you just don't know how to get around it, how to maintain it, how to be consistent. You don't have that accountability. You don't have the tools, the tips. You don't have the scientific knowledge, but you know that sugar makes you feel a certain way. Vegetables make you feel a certain way. Do you know what I mean? So I think in nutritional therapy, we very much more, it's like a co-creation. We are together in this. Let's have the chat. Let's make it work. And you'll come back to me and say, this is not working. And we'll figure out why. It's not, here's your meal plan. You know, I think dietitians are very much more like that. Here's your meal plan. This is it. Boom. See you later.
Where did you go off? And I'm going to yell at you about that or make you feel bad. And then hopefully you won't do that again.
Exactly.
I think that's amazing. I am, you know, I've done lots of different diets and have been able to lose weight on lots of them and have had my ups and downs and regained weight lots of times. I don't like, there's no part of me that likes saying to a person, this is what you should do. I'm just not interested in it. So I think that that is amazing that there's a whole field where it is like, I'm going to help you figure out what's right for you. That's so awesome.
Yeah. I just think it doesn't work. But even as a nutritional therapist, and I'm also a coach, so I have a training as a health and wellness coach. So that part of my work is to uncover a little bit more the why and make you progress. So that complements really well my job because I give you the plan, we have a conversation, but before you even go off, we've already tackled the challenges you're going to meet along the way, right? Whether it's your partner that has, you know, a different lifestyle. I don't know. You are a mom and you have all these kids to cook for and you'll tend to. So we already uncover that. And for me, that's why I really, really love what I personally do, because having done just the nutrition side without the mindset, without the uncovering the challenges, even in the nutritional therapy, having this conversation with people, they still sometimes come back and say, yeah, but along the way, there was this problem. So you do have to dive in a little bit deeper and understand a little bit of the behavior, what's happening, you know, what's likely to happen. Not that you know everything in advance, but, you know, be really supportive. And that's my favorite part of my work. And also that's where I get the most results, you know.
Yeah.
And there's no way you can tell one person. We're also different, like your DNA, like everybody's different. Like even I see my partner, he's Italian. Honestly, we eat all our meals together, but we eat so differently, but the same meal. But, you know, it's just, we're not built the same. I'm from West Africa in Togo. I was born and raised in Africa with African foods, and he's born with Italian foods. And it's just, I couldn't eat the way he eats. I would be honestly, I'll be ill. Like, I'll be like, how much gluten can a person, like what the hell? Like, I couldn't, you know, same for him. He can't eat all of our food. Like, it's just a lot. So there's just so much that comes into telling someone and supporting someone to a better health. Like, you can't just be like, oh, like have this, I don't even know what people tell people, these quinoa bowl and these fruits and off you go. It's like, no, where are you from? Like what's happening? Like, would you like eating? Like, what's the deal? And I like getting into the what's the deal part of the thing, you know, like get in.
I love it. I love what you're saying too. Going back to where you're talking about the things that could come up. I think that a person going into any kind of, whether it be they want to be able to run a marathon or they want to lose weight or any kind of physical goal that somebody sets, it would be wise, I believe, to sit down and figure out all of the barriers that they might encounter and then recognize, to your point, that you're never going to figure them all out. New ones are going to crop up and you have to have some way to deal with that as you go, you know? So And they think it's such a great idea to have somebody to talk through
this. Yeah, and the better, as with everything, and I'm sure you agree with me, if you've done any diets or anything in your life that you found challenging new, the more prepared you are here, the better, right? And you're never going to be completely ready, but the more prepared in the sense of, I know myself, I know this is a weak spot, I might leave this for a second, I might go this way. The more prepared you are, the more you know about yourself, the easiest it is to navigate those situations. Because I think food is easy. I think food is amazing. It can be easy, but it can be so complicated for some people. And for sometimes all of us at different points of our lives. And it just sometimes requires a little bit more attention and knowing ourselves and understanding, okay, what relationships do I actually have with food? And I think a lot of the time people aren't that aware. They actually don't know. They think, oh, yeah, I'm cool, but they actually don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, okay. That's literally, as you're saying this, I'm thinking like, sometimes the person it's most difficult to be honest with is yourself. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's been so many times, Issa, where I've gone into a diet going like, I don't have to think about anything. It's going to be fine. And 3 days later I've failed and I'm like, what happened? And then I just brush it all off. You know, it's kind of easy for me to like take this problem in my life and utterly occlude it and not pay attention to it at all. It's more difficult to like pull it to the forefront and go, I want to examine this and I want to deal with it. That's difficult.
That's hard. That shit is hard. And not just with food, with everything in life. And I personally know, and if I, you know, I love self-development. I love, you know, as a human growing and learning. And I feel like it's part of my job as a nutritional therapist, as a coach, to keep growing first and learning before going and supporting others. If not, it just wouldn't work. But so many times in my life, especially in business, and funny enough, it's always either business or health related, I was like, wow, you are lying to yourself. Like, this is not going to work. And it didn't work. And I've learned so much by sitting down and pulling myself together and being like, okay, cool. Like, what's happening? But sometimes it can take me months. I know what's happening. I know something is up. I know I'm not feeling well. I know it. I can see it. And I'm just like, oh, like it's just that. And then eventually I can't take it anymore.
Right.
Like I'm at the point where, okay, this is it. I can't take it anymore. And then I have to go and do the work, whatever that work is, whether it's like being honest with myself, journaling, reviewing the diet, the business plan or whatever, acknowledging my mistakes and saying, okay, you're not perfect. That's fine. But let's deal with it, you know, like, or get a coach or okay, whatever it is. And I agree. It's not easy. And I never tell my clients, come and work with me. It's going to be like, woo, roses and petals. It will be easier because you have me to hold you accountable and hold that space for you. So you don't, you know, go on a tangent and you've committed, you've invested your time, your money. So I know you're going to show up. So that's my job to hold this space. But alone, it's hard.
Yeah. And do you find that, and just from your experience, have you seen that it's people seem to be better off if they take a minute and confront these things and look at these things before they begin versus like getting into the middle of some journey and having not really looked at stuff and you're trying to like white knuckle your way through it?
I think in general, it really depends. This comes to a personality thing. And I think it's kind of 50-50, if I'm honest with you, like it's really a personality thing. I think some people are, it's not like a thicker skin. Some people are made to fight when they are in the thick of it.
Right.
This is where they're going to get their claws out. Like, I'm making this happen. This is going to work for me. Let's go. What the hell? I didn't see this, but we're going to make it work. And some people absolutely hell no, they will crumble and leave it. They work best if they figure the things out. And then slowly they start the journey, right? So I feel like that's a 50-50. Really depends on the personality of the person. When I work with my clients, I always, before I start working with anybody, we have like a long, a 30, 45 minute call. And that's one of the calls where I use to like intuitively get to know them and see, okay, who is this person? And I ask them the question. I'm like, so if I ask you a cheeky question, be honest with yourself, like, are you someone who follows through? Or are you someone who gives up? And they laugh, but they, a lot of the time, they're honest. And I do use that answer to then build the plan, the way I'm going to start. Like the first session, we're working on the challenges, or, okay, we're going in, she's ready. She's like, she's a panther. She's going to get this, yeah, you know, no matter what happens, she will show up, you know? So that's kind of part of my work as a coach, to sort of start seeing that a little bit right from the get-go and help them navigate the situation. But it really is depending on the personality, you know, really depends. Yeah.
Now, okay, with women and I don't really think I truly understand women. I have a wife. I have four daughters. I'm going to have a granddaughter soon. So I'm surrounded by women. I admire women very much. I know for as a man who was overweight most of my life, I had a lot of self-shame. But when I look at society as objectively as I can, to me, it appears that women carry the lion's share of these kind of ideas of what they should look like, less so than men do. Like, I think it's somewhat more excusable for a man to be overweight in society. I'm not saying that this is my opinion. This is my observation. And I cannot imagine the burden that must play, especially in this day and age. Like, I understand. I mean, I can understand. And again, this is not my ideal.
Yeah,
but if we go to a place in history where it was like the woman's job is to make the home and be presentable for the husband, right? We clearly are not in that today. We have women who are.
Well, depending where in the world, but let's say in the West, we aren't.
In the West, but sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's funny you say that, because on my podcast, I have a podcast, in one of the very first episodes, I talk about why I believe diets don't work and what to do instead and body positivity and all these things. And one of the things I talk about is what we look like, the pressure we put on ourselves. And I was picking Adele, the singer, as an example. When she came back, I thought she looked sensational.
Me too.
I was like, yes, girl. I think I was like, what?
And she looked so proud. She'd like accomplished something. She was radiant.
And she still looked fantastic. But the comment she got, I was like, God, we have so, and more importantly, from women, right? I was like, we have so much work to do in how we perceive ourselves, our body size, and other women perceive themselves. And like the whole thing is so complicated. And I think, and I say that in my podcast, like I when it comes to from body type, people would say I'm from like a privileged body type. I'm thin. I used to be a model. I used to be a professional dancer. So I'm like a size, like, like in UK, I'm a size 8, which is maybe like a 4 in America, something. So I'm small, like I'm tiny. But I explained that this is in the West. For a woman, for an African woman who's grown up in Togo and raised, I'm not the beauty standard. And
you're abnormally small, right?
I am abnormally small. And I have something, I've had something about it for ages. Like, I don't necessarily feel the most confident when I'm home and everybody's like, do you know what I mean? Like, I secretly, low-key, would love to be a little bit bigger. Like, we have so much pressure on what we've been taught and we carry that. And for me, where I'm from, it's like, you're very thin. And my sisters are bigger than I, they're curvy. And do you know what I mean? They get all the attention and I'm like, little. And I mean, when I'm in the West, it's like, oh my God, your body is amazing. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know. It's that constant battle and it's taken me years. And I mean, and I was a dancer and a model. So you can only imagine the pressure to stay stick thin, especially 15 years ago. It's taken me years to work around it. And it's a constant work. And I'm always like, you look great at any size. It's fine. Whether you're home in Africa or you're here, you look new. But it's work for us. And it's a constant work. And it's a constant acceptance work for us women. It's a burden we carry. And we just have to be aware and honest with ourselves, especially when another woman triggers us. And just remember, okay, what does that mean? Do I need help? Because that's what I see a lot online. And that really, really, it annoys me, if I'm honest. You know, like these women that will claim, oh, body positivity. They see someone that's like larger. And if they see someone is smaller, oh, like you're too thin, or I'm allowed to make a comment. I'm like, no, we can't do that.
Right. It's got to work both ways, right?
It's got to work both ways. And if someone comes back looking amazing, either way, what does that have to do with you? And if you're triggered, what does that mean? But that's your responsibility. And I just think in the world at the moment, on any topic, we're not taking responsibility as individuals or how things are triggering us. You might say something that may trigger me before I even think about it. Is it my issue or is it his? I'm vomiting something at you. And I just find that really hard. And I think at the moment, when it comes to body positivity, women, we still have so much work to do.
Yeah.
So much work. Well,
and it is odd because with the Adele thing, and I'm obviously nowhere near as famous as Adele, but I've been on television shows and I had a few guys contact me and say, man, growing up watching you on TV, you made me feel more comfortable about myself. Mm. And now that you've lost weight, and there's a lot of people who have said, now that you've lost weight, you're inspiring me, which is fine. But there've been a few that have said, like, now that you've lost weight, you've kind of turned your back on this feeling you gave me as a kid. And I'm just like, this is too much for me to process. I wanted to change. I'm happier now. And I can't hold this idea on my back that people should be nice to overweight people. I agree with that idea, but I found that what they did with Adele, people got angry. Like, people were angry with her. And
it's so much to carry, isn't it?
I understand having somebody who is utterly praised and beautiful and bigger. And so she represents that to a bunch of other people who can identify with her. I get that. But when she changes, I don't think that she clearly didn't change because online bullies told her to. And what now that online bullies are telling her change is not good, she should change back. Like, the whole thing to me, it's mental gymnastics to try to figure out what the rightness is there.
Yeah. But I think, it's just crazy. And then I can't imagine you feeling that responsibility. You're like, am I responsible for every single person on the planet? Because that's probably what it feels like, you know, like being in your place or in Adele. Like, and I just feel like, wow, where do we go from here? But I think we've got to, with someone like you, you've just have to let it go and make sure you're doing what feels right for you, you know? But yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, but I will say I appreciate and I like the pressure to now maintain what I've done. That I find to be helpful. I also love being able to have conversations with people like you because, you know, like it becomes this slightly tricky thing, right? Like I had real compulsive and addictive type relationship with food and I can't just quit eating. Like I also had similar bad relationships with drugs and alcohol and that I just stopped doing, but I can't like sever my relationship with food. And so it's good to be able to check in with people and talk to people like you who are inspiring and have really insightful things to say because it keeps me in the present with it.
In the present, yeah. And I think you really nailed it that it's doing what feels right for you, what maintains you in that path of growth, because what you're doing or what you just said is I'm becoming the best version of myself. It's not easy, but I want to hold that space for myself, you know? And yeah, of course, every now and then, unfortunately, as a public person, someone who puts themselves out there, like an actor being on TV, etc., you will get those people giving you the comment because I guess it comes with the job, like they say, even though I hate when people say that. I'm like, I don't want that part. Right? It comes with the job to when you put yourself out there, when you expose yourself, like you're being vulnerable, people will tell you whatever the thing it's okay to say. But the important thing and what inspire us in public figures is the fact that they want to be the best versions of themselves. And we're like, oh my God, that's so inspiring. I'm going to, yeah, me too. Like, oh, wow. And the hold that space. And yeah, it's not easy, but yeah, well done. Because as we said a few minutes earlier, it takes a lot to, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear. I swear so much.
Of course, no, please swear.
I have to filter. But, you know, one day, I can't remember if it's Liz Gilbert or Brené Brown, but I think it's Liz Gilbert. I was listening to a podcast. So she was on a show with Marie Folio. And she said she doesn't know anybody that has grown or changed without them looking at their own shit. And it was 5-6 years ago and that really hit something in me. And I thought, yeah, you're not going to change if you're not aware of your own crappy habits, your own shit show, the lies you make to yourself, if you don't look at yourself and go for it. You know what I mean? And that's what we were saying earlier. It's the hardest. But once you do that first step, you're like, okay, cool. That's the hardest. It's like, this is it. This is me.
And I mean, in that context, I think it's amazing that whenever there's like a mob coming for Adele, it's like, guys, every one of you should step back and look at your own shit. And before you say a word to Adele or anybody else, you know what I mean? Like, what are you doing besides yelling at somebody on the internet?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So last year I released a program. I teach Pilates as well. And I do a lot of Pilates courses and things like that. And I did a program for a Pilates course for weight management. And I've never really done anything in the weight management because what I like working on is gut health and energy and self-development and all of that. But I wanted to do that because I was seeing more and more clients that were struggling with that. And I wanted to have a lower cost offer that people could just buy and learn the principle of like eating for longevity and to gain a healthy body weight. It wasn't like a diet. It was just like those kind of like tips or like guidance, you know. And some of the emails I got, I was like, oh, shit. I'm so disappointed in you. And I was thinking, who are you? Who are these people? Like, what?
Oh, my God, because it was focused on weight loss.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so disappointed that you're creating content for weight loss. And I was like, I'm not a blogger or an influencer or a random person from the freaking internet. I'm a nutritional therapist. I have a job. I have a duty. If I'm seeing a lot of people overweight and I'm getting the request, I'm going to put it out there. It's just I didn't even respond to these emails because I was a bit, at first I was like, oh shit, because you feel like, oh God, you're a bit like, but then I thought, no, hell no, this is it. this is happening. We're not going to shy away. And if you feel triggered, you either unfollow or you ask yourself, why do I feel triggered by a nutritional therapist, an actual professional, right? A Pilates teacher putting content that can actually really, really help people. I'm not telling you to lose weight.
No, but you're saying here's a tool if you want
here's
to.
Here's a tool. I didn't come and beat you in your living room. I'm putting it out there because there is a need for it, right? But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's so tricky sometimes. And you just have to, when you're online, it's like, sometimes I feel like I've got to walk on eggshells, which I'm not really good at. Like, oh, is this person, this person's going to be happy? Is this okay? But we got to do what we got to do.
It's so tricky because at the end of the day, it really just is about language. And suddenly, like, listen, I don't drink a lot of this stuff, but I do occasionally like a diet soda. Once in a while, it's a treat for me. I drink it. I drink it and I recognize, like, if I start to drink too many of these and I'm not drinking enough water, this is not a good plan for me. But I have a diet soda, and they've removed from many brands here the word diet. And now it's just zero sugar. It's exactly the same, but the word diet is upsetting to people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, diet in its purest sense of the word just means what we eat.
Yeah.
Can we not even use a word to represent that without upsetting people? The whole thing is crazy.
It's crazy. Do you know what? I do feel like that. And sometimes I wonder, I'm like, am I being not compassionate enough? What is it? And I think so many people, especially women, we've been told for so many years and years and years, lose weight, lose weight, lose weight. You got to be like the stick thin blonde, like, you know, that person that I think people are just easily triggered now. There's a lot of healing to do, you know? So you have the people healing and they're like, no, I can't deal with that. I can't see diet anymore. Like, especially like people that were like maybe in their 20s, in the 80s, 20s, 30s, in the 80s, you know? Right, exactly, where like Diet Coke and all these things, and like I think for that generation it's harder. I think that's there's so much.
this is the beautiful thing about what you're talking about a minute ago in regards to this, because I believe at least that, like, if you have somebody who's tried and failed at many diets, the whole idea of weight loss, especially for women you're talking about, where they're tired and their energy is low and they're stressed out. If you go like, we're not restricting food. We're just going to fix your relationship with it. Find food that makes you feel better. And you don't have to worry about weight loss at all. You don't have to worry about restricting portions. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about how you feel after you eat sugar, or how you feel after you eat a very fatty meal. Your partner, you're talking about Italians. There's a region in Italy where they all have cholesterol like around 300. I'm so jealous of these people because they can eat that. They can have high cholesterol. They're eating pork and pasta and they're fine. Nothing. Mm-hmm. There's no heart disease there or very little. And I go like, I know from my family history, when we go above a certain like normal threshold of cholesterol, it's a disaster. So this whole idea, don't you find that when people start to do that and they actually get a handle on food that gives them energy, food that makes them feel good, that
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Growing up as a kid, my mom would never let us have real cereal. When I say real cereal, I mean the stuff that you'd find at a normal grocery store. My mom would get us the cardboard shavings at the health food store, and I was always miserable with my cereal. And then I would magically go to my friend's house, and they would have real cereal. And I would be so envious, and I would sit and eat bowl after bowl of delicious, frosted goodness, sugary, wonderful stuff. And then I grew up and I was able to buy my own cereal, but that lasted all of 2 minutes because then I started dieting. So cereal left my life entirely. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. Now there's Magic Spoon, which is high protein cereal. My favorite flavor is their peanut butter. It's incredible. Variety pack. Four flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Only 140 calories a serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, and soy free. It's incredible. Go to magicspoon.com/glutton and grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code GLUTTON at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/glutton and use the code GLUTTON to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Weight loss is a byproduct or the next step?
100%. 100%. I think you're really sorry. You've really nailed it there. There are two things. There's exactly what you're saying in the sense of, okay, let's see how you use food, how it makes you feel, the relationship you have with it. Are you excited to eat? Is it a punishment? Is it, how do you feel when you're about to eat? Like, what is your favorite food? How come? What is it related? What is it linked to? Does that make you feel like when you were younger? There is that part of it that is so important. And when you teach people, like, well, you have this thing where I said, okay, after you finish eating, do you feel like expansive? Like, oh, okay. Or do you feel like, oh my God.
I mean, that was how I felt all the time after I ate.
Yeah, right. And you know, you don't need to have any nutrition knowledge to know. Okay, I need to sleep. I need a nap. I'm at the desk and I'm literally like struggling to keep my eyes open. Or I've just eaten that. Oh, I feel a bit of a sass. I'm ready to go. That's how we want you to feel. And that's how you want to feel most of the time, right? And I think you really say that that's one of the things. The second thing I would say that I see a lot, especially with the women I work with, is a lot of the time, and I'm thinking about this lady I worked with last year. She was like, I'm trying to lose weight. It's not working. I'm like, you know, and when we started working together, because I have a 3-month program, it's called a Body, Mind, Soul Reset. When she came to me and we started working together, the first 2 weeks, I was able straight away to help her see, because I could see it, but it's not the point. It's not about me. It's about you seeing what's happening, see how her habits were hindering her, were causing her to pick certain foods, the lack of structure, the working till no time, 10 p.m., the stress of work, the fear. Like there was so much that were coming into play. I didn't even need to talk about food. I couldn't even talk about food yet because I was like, well, hang on a minute. There's a whole situation here, right? And a lot of the time you can give a great diet or a great nutritional advice to someone who is willing, who wants to do, who's ready to go for it. But there's just so much stress. There's a lack of structure. There's no routine. There's no knowledge. It's just, there's a shit show happening. We need to sort through that first. You know what I mean? And that can be as easy as helping people set a little bit of a routine. Not that the full on, like, oh my God, I wake up and I don't know, I do something. I breathe. Not all of that. Just a simple, I've got 20 minutes for myself in the day to just breathe and just be here and just stare at the wall. Just that, being mindful a little bit so that when I go to eat, I don't just pick what I see because I'm so stressed. I can't even deal. Right. And like, I stop and I'm like, oh, is that going to make me feel good? Is that going to make me feel shit? You know, and it's just, those things are so important when it's happening, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, but I say a good 80% when someone is struggling with the diet, they don't have those nutritional habits down. There is a reason for it. And yeah. Often it's just a lot of going on and you've got to sort through that first and it becomes easy to follow whatever, you know, and then they lose weight or they gain weight or they feel better. They reach the goal they wanted because our bodies are so like amazing. Like I'm obsessed with our bodies. I'm so grateful with mine, even though I've put it through so much shit through the years. I'm like, oh my God, I love you so much. You're still here. But they're so intelligent. If you give them what they need, they will be who they need to be. Like you will be in your healthy body weight if you give your body what it needs. It's always about the whole environment. If your body's full of toxins, your hormones are completely out of whack. It's a shit show. It's a stress, you know, heavy metals, all sorts going in your body. You can do any diet you want and nothing's going to happen. You ain't going to get no results. The environment, it's like, it's not working. You got to declutter. Okay, what's happening here? What nutrient is missing? Okay, let's give this, let's get rid of this. Okay, there's too many heavy metals. There's a mercury infection. Okay, cool. Like you got to get to the root of the issue. And often with fatigue, burnout, energy, weight loss that people have been dragging for years, we've got to start there. Got to declutter and build the foundation and make the environment, make their body ready to go, ready to fight for themselves, right? Before you even start thinking about, you know, a diet, like a supplement, like some dramatic stuff, you say, what is happening in your body first? Like, let's have a look. And that's where you usually do testing. And I love that. And spend hours talking to people about their journey. How do you get here? How do you feel? Oh, you have these symptoms. Interesting. Have you ever done this? Blah, blah, blah. Like, that's so, so important. And I think that's the key to getting really good results, like in the long term. It takes more time, but that's where you get the results, the thing, you know?
I love this. I love this idea because I do think that, you know, a lot, anybody who was like me, you just ran your body into the ground, either rapidly losing weight, rapidly gaining weight, or beating yourself up on the in between those times where you're just playing this game of like shame and I'm bad and I'm wrong and all of this. And you get to the point where it is, you're just fatigued and you have a bad relationship with yourself. So the idea of like, hold on, let's not even think about weight loss. Let's figure out how we can just feel better today. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then we'll think about that other stuff down the line in a way that it's not going to be so super stressful because up until very recently or the last few years, every diet I ever did was just extreme stress on top of me already feeling stressed out. And then it ended with now I'm in the regain phase, right? Where I got a month looking the way I do and feeling a little bit better about myself, but I'm just going to pile on weight, right? Not a good cycle.
No, it's not. And it's damaging for our mental health. And that's when we lose confidence a lot of the time. You know, I struggled. So when I was a professional dancer, I used to be a professional dancer for years. I'm talking over 10 years. And I was mainly a touring dancer. So I went on tour with Kylie Minogue and Take That. I've worked with a lot of artists, American artists as well here in the UK. And one of the things that I really struggled with through my career was my gut health. So in all honesty, I didn't look after myself. I didn't know how to look after myself. I didn't have the data that if I ate Haribos and shit and tequila and club sandwiches and never slept, it will eventually 10 years down the line, catch up with me because it's not sustainable for my body. I really struggle with a lot of gut health. And one of the big struggles I've had is candida, overgrowth of candida in my gut. Oh my God, the biggest frustration ever. And that has caused so many different health issues in my body, like a lot of things. And I've done so many candida diets through the years. Candida diet is the hardest thing, I think. You know, you essentially you eat no freaking sugar, like bread, like anything sweet, even fruit is like limited. And I've done this diet many times, and many times I have found it so hard mentally. And then after 3-4 times, it wasn't working anymore because I lost the confidence. First, it didn't work. Because it didn't work, and also because I wasn't really following through anymore. I wasn't seeing the result, but it was such a stress. I was mentally depleted. I was like, I can't keep doing this thing. Like, something has to happen. And eventually, of course, I then went to nutritional therapy school and got the knowledge. I understood my body was, it was a mess. I had a lot of things going on, like toxins, things I didn't even think about, things doctors and people didn't tell me. It's when I did a deep detox, deep, and it wasn't even food related. It was just like herbs to clean my body. Then my body stopped clearing candida on its freaking own. On its own. Something I've been trying to heal for 6 years, right? Because eventually I understood, okay, let's go back to the root cause. Why do you have these things? Yes, you've eaten terrible for 10 years, but it can't be just that. Like, why is your body not adjusting, right? What is happening? And going back to that was really what helped my body like become stronger, like rebuilding that environment and sorting things out a little bit there. And now it's much easier, you know, it's much easier. So always for me was a personal lesson. And it's also something I've learned at school. If you don't know the root cause of something, you're going to just go in a circle until you feel stressed, tired, exhausted, and you've lost complete confidence. And a lot of the time, that's when people give up. They completely give up on their health. They're like, you know what? And I get it. I've tried for 10 years. I'm done. It's not working.
Yeah.
Right? But no one, if you don't have the knowledge, not everybody goes to nutrition school or whatever, that we have not looked at the root cause of your issue, especially with things like acne, for example, which I see a lot, right? And people will go and they buy the cream and the doctors will tell them it's this and that. I've worked with people and I'm like, babe, your liver is not working. Sorry, but all these, you know, medications you're taking is actually making it worse. We need to go back to the root cause and understand what's happening. Look through each, you know, system in your body. So for me, it's always been a lesson I always come back to every time I work with someone, no matter how small the symptom is or how simple it appears to be. I never go and say, here's the pill, go take your supplement. I'm like, cool. Why is that happening? I'm constipated. Why are you constipated? Well, it's always been like that. Well, no, you're not born constipated. Let's go back to it. Oh, it was 10 years ago when I traveled. Okay, what happened then? What was happening in your life? That's the deal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think what I'm hearing, and I utterly agree with you, is that I think people can get onto a plan that isn't going to be incredibly taxing. It might not be the fastest plan from point A to point B, but the point isn't just getting to point B, because maybe you extend point B and you go like, what do you want your life to look like, your whole life, rather than like, I want to fit into this dress in 3 weeks. That's a different plan. Like, okay, but you recognize that in 4 weeks or 5 weeks, you may no longer fit in the dress. So let's
go back.
And you're going to be miserable. It's going to be stressful. It's going to be a really rough 3 weeks. It's like, how do we reorganize your life so that every day is okay and doable? There's going to be effort. It's going to be hard work, but it's not going to be a nightmare, and you can feel better.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly that. But you know what? It's I think we live in a society now where we're used to take a pill and feel better. right? And I think a lot, and a lot of people that I speak to that I don't necessarily work with them, because when they're still at that stage of, you know, I'll get an email, this is how I feel, I want that, do you think we can do that in 3 sessions? And I'm like, no. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I want money. I want to earn more money. I want more clients, but I don't do that. I don't do that. You know, like, I don't do magic pill. I'm actually against the magic pill, because there are no freaking magic pill. People are used to that. They want a quick, fast result, and people do not want to work. A lot of people don't want to put in the work. They just want to feel good now. And it's like, no, there is no such a thing. You can't build a business in a day. I don't care what manifesting power you have. You can't heal a gut that's tired in a day. You can't lose a weight that you've put on for years in a day. It just ain't going to freaking happen. You've got to sit yourself down, be patient, let go of the pressure, the result, the this time, and just allow your body to come into its balance. And that's that. You know what I mean? But a lot of people fail to understand that. They just want the magic pill, they want the doctor to give them something, numb the pain, and off we go. And am I blaming them? No, I'm not, because it's just what our society has taught us. That's where we are. And it takes a while to shift and to understand. And I hope that more and more people will understand that it's a journey. Like, it's a journey. You can't just, it's a journey. A diet, a pill, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Even as a kid, you know, going back to the '80s, or even, yeah, the '80s really was when it began. But even then it was like, I want a 3-month solution and then I'm done. I'm out. I never want to think about it again. That was kind of the biggest block. I would much rather had a 30-day solution, but like with my parents, I'd go like, okay, 3 months, I'll do your diet for 3 months. Now with Twitter and the internet, and like, you can only get a video that's a maximum 1 minute long, and and a tweet is 250 words, and we're only reading headlines, and you got to tell me everything about the article because the rest behind a paywall, and who wants to pay for that? And it's like, our attention spans have shrunk. So like 3 months is too long. Give me a 2-week diet. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or just a diet for today. I want to lose all the weight today, or take your magical pill. And like, do I believe there could one day be a magical pill? Maybe, but right now I just worry about what are all the unintended consequences that would come with this magical pill. Like, we're not even thinking about that. What are the unintended consequences about figuring out how to feel great today with the circumstances you live in today? To me, there are no. Like, if we really examine that, there's no unintended consequences. We feel great. That's the end product. Versus some unknown, because I know they are working on magical pills right now, and that's
I'm sure. I don't even want to hear. I'm nervous. I am sure. But do you think social media is the only thing to blame for that? Do you think social media, I think it's one of the biggest causes, but I genuinely want to know, like, from, you know, someone like you, what do you think has been the biggest, like, maybe cause, like, what has caused us to be so freaking impatient? Is it because we compare ourselves to someone that we see online? Oh my God. Like what is it? What do you think is that?
The reality is I've become more patient, but I've done a lot of the stuff that you're talking about where I've realized that short-term weight loss is utterly meaningless to me. I am really generally focusing on every day, I want to feel as good as I can. If I went to the gym and felt like crap afterwards, the gym is done. The gym is done the minute I don't feel better. I'm going to the gym because I feel better. I'm eating the way I eat because it makes me feel better. Your analogy was spot on. I used to be in a food daze all day and I want to eat something and feel ready to go do more, you know, that's the goal to me. Yeah. And I never had that before the way I was eating. I would wait a long time, get overly hungry, eat way too much, and then feel sick or like I needed a nap or, you know, this whole thing of a food coma. I was in a food coma every day. And now it's like, maybe on Christmas Day, I allow that to happen, but nowhere near as severe as I used to.
Yeah. I guess, you know, I think we've experienced and, you know, going through our, you know, health challenges, we've learned the hard way that there is indeed no pills and no things like that. But sometimes I do get a little bit nervous and scared for our children and the next generation that think that things are accessible so easily and that you can just click a finger and this is gone. And I'm like, oh, hell no, here we go.
Yeah.
Hell no, you got to go through that journey. And I think that's the beauty of it. Like, I hate it. And I hate when I have like a gut flare or a gut issue, but God, the journey, the personal growth, right, is taking me through the lessons I've learned. And now how I can even use it as my work, like it's invaluable to me, you know, like, don't get me wrong. A few years ago, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, like, oh, someone give me a pill, someone help me. But now I'm like, God, I've learned this, I've learned that. I can really support someone else going through anything similar, you know, and I've grown, I've learned this and I understand this. And for me, it's invaluable. It's actually part of the journey.
Yeah,
this is it. It's part of your journey, like the universe, whether you believe in universe or God or a higher power. That's your journey. It's taking you somewhere to create your podcast, to help thousands of people feeling inspired. That maybe was your, do you know what I mean? That maybe was your thing, you know, you just don't know. But I do get a little bit nervous and scared when I see emails or requests. Oh, I want to lose weight in a week, or I want to, and I'm like, oh God.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, but no, it's not going to happen.
No, but I think you're doing the very greatest service you can to these people where you're going like, let's not even look at food. Let's look at your life. And how do we just arrange your life to be more conducive to energy? Right. Because I think that is a problem for a lot of people. You know, I think a lot of people are not starting onto some journey that they might have in the back of their head as a desire because mm-hmm. they're so tired or they're so stressed out that it's like, how could I take on another hard thing in my already overly complicated life? And so 100%. I love that as a step one, like let's just uncomplicate your life before 100%. We even think about food.
Yeah, because you know, like I see it, like I would say probably the very first thing I see in people, a lot of people put their health, they don't realize that the health is the core of their life, right? I say your health is the root of the tree. This is it. If you ain't got health, there's no you. It's as simple as that. But people, if I say that, you're like, no, for sure. Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. Like if I'm sick, what am I going to do? If I'm dead, like whatever, like, yeah. But in theory, it sounds like, yeah, of course. But in practice, many of us don't practice that. Our health, our life is not centered around our health. It's our life. And whatever I can feed myself, if I can sleep, if I'll make it work, if I can grab a little sandwich. No, that's not prioritizing your health. If that's the thing that holds you together, if that's the thing that makes you be freaking alive, by the way, you know, like it's got to be, okay, I want to feel energized. I want to feel this way. This is my vision for myself. This is the person I want to be. So to be that person, I want to be energized. I want to be calm. I want to be grounded. I want to be productive. I'm building this big business. Right. What do I eat to be that way? Yeah. What do I do? What vitamins do I take? And then my life follows through. Not, well, let me take on all these things and have no boundaries, because so many of us have very poor boundaries. And then before we know, oh God, it's 10 p.m., another takeaway. Let me grab a sandwich. Do you know what I mean? Like that's it. It's like, where do you actually, you want to feel better, but where do you put your health? Like some of my friends, they literally take the piss out of me. Like they laugh at me because here she goes. Because I'm like, who's cooking? What are we eating? These are my first questions. What's going to be there? What is that? Right. That's like the main thing. They're like, oh, you're not excited about the actual thing. I'm like, yeah, but what am I going to eat like for the week? Like, what was the vibe? Like, I want to feel great. I want to enjoy my holidays. Yeah. Then they like love. They're like, oh, here comes the wellness, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, because for me, it's important to feel good. Right. If I feel good, I do good. I'm in a good mood. I support my client. I'm happy. It's great for my partner, you know? But a lot of us look at things the other way around or act the other way around, right? Life comes first, everything comes first. And then if there's a little squeeze, teeny little space for to think about some sort of thing to eat or to sleep barely, then we'll do that, you know?
Issa, I love it. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I could have talked to you for hours. This was great. Thank you.
And now for the Q&A.
Today's question comes from Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Tom's question is about exercise. He says, why on some days do I feel like I'm really in the zone when I'm working out? And some days it feels like I'm just starting all over again and I'm walking through mud. I want that great feeling that you get every day, but sometimes I just feel awful and tired. Any advice? Thank you.
Yeah, my advice on things to fix if you're feeling like crap in the gym are sleep, hydration, nutrition, and then like start to get into nutrient deficiencies. Nutrition, I just mean like, have you eaten enough? And then it could be like electrolytes or, you know, are you deficient in some vitamin? You know, I think that's far rarer. I think the big culprits in those instances are like, you could be not giving yourself enough time off to recover from the gym. And there's a lot of stuff, a lot of these, I don't know how old Tom is. Does it say? No.
No, he didn't say.
Anyway, there's a bunch of evidence that shows that when, as we get older, we need more time to recover, literally the way our body breaks down and uses protein to repair muscles takes longer. And so like, you know, for me, I'm usually 3 days apart from working out the same muscle group again. So like chest will be Monday, then Tuesday's legs, then Wednesday's back, then chest will be again Thursday. By the time I get to Thursday, my chest is ready to go. That's enough of a break. But then the whole week of exercise, you're accumulating fatigue that whole time. It's a lot of stress on the body. And so I need at least one day where I'm not exercising at all. I don't mean that I lay in bed and watch Netflix and eat Domino's pizza all day. I might take my dogs on a walk or, you know, have to go be forced to go shopping with my wife, which actually you get a lot of steps doing stuff like that. that's how I rationalize participating in an activity I'm so morally against. But that's my rest day. There's no, for me, again, this is when I am super fatigued in the gym. I just go like, holy smokes. Usually for me, it happens when I'm deep into my mesocycle. That's like a block of training I have planned out. Usually it's 4 or 5 weeks. And then I know like I got to get a nice easy week to recuperate so that I can come back to the gym feeling refreshed. Sleep can mess you up in the gym. And then there's nutrition. Like, I have to eat carbs around my workout. And I mean like before and after my workout, or I don't feel great. I don't know Tom's plan, but and if you're dehydrated, that can be a problem. Maybe you need electrolytes. Those are all my suggestions. But the ones I would really think about first are your overall accumulated fatigue. If you're like doing CrossFit every day, I just think at some point you're going to be burnt out, right? And I say CrossFit because you're kind of working out a lot of different muscle groups. I'm more taking 3 days at least in between muscle groups so that I can be as fresh as possible for them. I don't know how he's working out, but that is really my suggestion.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And those are little things that are not just little things. They're big things. And people, myself included, you can forget that stuff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, and by the way, Paige, you came and stayed at my house and mm-hmm. like, I think you arrived late at night or early in the morning or something. And like 3 hours later, you were like, let's go to the gym. And we did. And that's fine.
Right.
Right. And yeah. Brandy stayed home and like had breakfast and coffee like a human being. Mm-hmm. But like, I think that's fine every now and again. If you're doing that like 4 days a week, it might not be worth it. Like it might actually be too much stress on the body to get the benefits that you're looking to get.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. I had a thing. I worked really late the other night on a job, very, very late, like into the middle of the night. And, you know, I normally would set my alarm for 6 to get up because I go to a class, workout class at 7. And I was like, no, I need to sleep. What am I going to actually achieve? I was just so tired. You know what I mean? I don't think I would have gotten up anyway. But yeah, no, it's crazy. You really do. Sleep is so important. Is it Arianna Huffington who talks about, I mean, so many people talk about sleep, but I've heard her talk about sleep and it's just like, it's crazy. It's such an under, maybe as we get a little older, we think about it more, but there used to be almost this badge of honor in like, I'm going to get through this. I only slept 5 hours. Who cares? But it's just, you don't feel well. You know what I mean? It's not good for your long-term health.
It's the stupidest thing to do too. Yeah. Long-term health. That is when our brains recover and our brains are like the switchboard for everything. So like if you're trying to achieve something with your body, but you're not letting your brain have its reset every night, it's going to be real hard to game that, you know? And then you can't really make it up in the day. You got another shot the next night, but whatever reset you lost, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not like calories where like if I didn't eat enough today, I could eat a little more tomorrow and it'd be okay. It would balance out over the course of the week. Sleep doesn't work like that. So yeah, that's an important one. And then I just think general fatigue in the body, if you're working out a lot and some days are better than others and you're looking for that good feeling, you know, maybe you have to look at what you're doing. And if you're doing something that is working out the same parts of the body every day, then you might need to break it up or rearrange it in a different way.
Yeah. All amazing points. Thank you. And maybe Tom can let us know.
I would love to know. By the way, you know, that's something we should do for one of these. I don't know that we've done that where they ask something and then we maybe get a little bit of a back and forth going.
Yeah.
So tell us if any of this worked, or tell us, no, you're dead wrong. You know, I needed to work out harder, which I think is not what it is.
Right. Exactly. Well, hopefully Tom will let us know. And if you have a question that you would like answered by Ethan on this podcast, please email it to us at AmericanGlutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee. You can follow us on Instagram at American Glutton Podcast. Sincerely.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.